Hi, this is Craig, and thank you for tuning in today. We are going to hear an inspirational message from God Almighty. Another one to tell us about our Christian walk, how we can walk with Him even closer than we have before. Now, I know there's so much going on in everybody's lives right now, and if you're one that is just struggling with some things, or just constant interruptions, or just kind of disconnected a little bit, just take a breath and sit back and listen to this message that God has prepared for us today. It is one that will impact your life from this day forward. Have you heard this scripture before? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Yeah, of course you have. Genesis 1:1. It's the beginning of God's own story. How we can know Him. But does God really exist? I mean, there are lots and lots of teachings out there. Does God really exist? Well, let me share with you that one day, a six-year-old little girl was sitting in her classroom, and the teacher was going to begin to explain evolution to them. Can you believe that? Evolution already trying to warp their little innocent minds in first grade. Anyway, teacher asked the little boy, "Tommy, you see that tree outside?" Yes, ma'am. "Well, Tommy, do you see that grass outside?" Yes, ma'am. "Tommy, will you go outside, look up, and see if you can see the sky?" Okay, so he ran outside there and come back in a few moments. "Yes, ma'am, I saw the sky." And the teacher then says, "Well, did you see God?" No, ma'am. That's my point. We can't see God because He isn't there. Oh, boy. Well, this little girl, she just was almost dancing in her chair there. And she spoke up and she asked, may I ask the boy some questions?" The teacher agreed, yeah, sure, go ahead. So the little girl says, "Tommy, do you see that tree outside?" "Well, yeah, I just said I did." "Well, Tommy, do you see that grass outside?" "Yes, of course it is. I was just there." "Well, do you see the sky?" "Yes, I was just out there." "Well, Tommy, do you see the teacher up front there?" "Well, yeah." "Well, do you see her brain?" No, it's inside her head. No, it can't. "So does that mean she doesn't have one?" "Oh! For we walk by faith, not by sight." 2 Corinthians 5:7. See, our God is finite in many ways. But before we continue, let's just find out quick definition of infinite, right? Webster says it means unlimited in time or space, without ends, without limits or bounds. Excuse me. The title of today's message is The Infinite Power of God. See, our God is infinite in time. And in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God." Well, this tells us that He has always been. And in the last book, in Revelation, it says that He is the Omega. This tells us that He will always be. See, time is a limited duration measured by succession either of time or motion. That's what the definition of time is. God has no need of time, but He observes time in His dealings with creation. So, if we use this created entity time as a reference, only we would do that, we can say that there was a time when there was no time, but God was there before that time. Now, say that really fast. That can be confusing. God is outside the realm of time. He not only knows what will happen, but He is present at all times at once. Now, isn't it wonderful to know that we are serving a God who is and will always be there when we need Him? God is also infinite when it comes to space. See, God's substance surpasses all spatial limitation. He does not have a dimension or a size. In 1 Kings 8:27, it says, But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this little temple that I've built. And as Isaiah 66:1, it says, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Whoa. Yeah, I'm not making this up. That, no, right here, I'm quoting it. It's all right there in the scripture for it. It's right there in his book. So God is the being who has always existed as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything else is created. He is the creator, and above his creation, he is much greater than the sum total of all that he has made. More powerful than the combined power of every atom. More eternal than the universe. More creative than all men from all time put together. He is present everywhere. Omnipresence. There you go. That's what omnipresence is. He's present everywhere. In Psalms 139, 7 through 10, it states, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And he especially indwells in the believer. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our God is also infinite in grace. And this grace is for whomsoever will receive it. And in the Bible, we can find numerous accounts of God's infinite grace, such as when the Israelites would turn their back against him and go their own wicked ways. His grace was shown at the time of the flood. And when he gave all the wicked people their last chance to give their hearts and lives back to him. As you know, the enemy of the world, Satan, he was on the side of life's road with a very large cage. And a man coming towards him noticed that it was crammed full of people. Every kind of people, young people, old people, from every race and from every nation. Where did you get these people? The man asked. Oh, from all over the world, Satan replied. And I lure them with drinking and drugs and lust, lies, anger, hate. Love of the money, show me the money, and all manner of things. I pretend I'm their friend, not to give them a good time, but then I hook them into the cage they go. Well, what are you going to do with them now? Asked the man. Satan kind of chuckled. He said, I'm going to prod them. I'm going to provoke them. Get them to hate and destroy each other. I'm going to stir up racial hatred. Defiance of the law and order. I'll make people bored, lonely, dissatisfied. I'm going to make them confused, restless. Oh, it's easy. People always listen to what I offer them. And what's even better, they're going to blame God for the outcome. Well, and then what? The man asks. Well, those who do not destroy themselves, I'll destroy. None will ever escape me. Well, now the man stepped forward. Well, can I buy these people from you? He asked. Satan kind of snarled at him. He said, well, yeah, but it's going to cost you your life. Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid for your and my release from our freedom from Satan's traps with his own life on the cross at Calvary. The door is open, and anyone whom Satan has deceived and caged can now be set free. Our God is infinite in power. He has the power to save the most despicable sinner that's ever lived in the world. So, remember, you have not gone too far that God's infinite power can't reach you. All you must do is be sorry enough to confess your sins. This is recorded in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let me ask you,
have you been set free? Has the infinite grace of God been applied to your heart and life? If not, well, today, right now, listening to this message about his infinite power, today would be the best time to let God's infinite grace be applied to your heart and to your life. Our God is also infinite in love. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How many times have we seen that? We see it at sports events. We see it all the time. We hear that all the time. But do we know what verse 17 says after that? "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Start tagging 17 on 16 when you quote that. Put them both together and it is so powerful. It just has so much more meaning to me. Now over in Ephesians 3:17-19, it says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you have been rooted and grounded in love. You may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." See, the breadth of love shows us God's boundless love. The length of love shows us God's fathomless love. And the height of love, it shows us God's measureless love. Do you know the love of Christ? Have you been filled with all the fullness of God's love yet? An infinite God can give all himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others. The fullness of God. Not just parts of him, but the fullness of him. Now, here in this short start of the message, we've heard that God is finite in several areas and his infinite power. But I'm just thinking out loud here. If we believe that, why is it that so many folks do not take God seriously? Why would that be? If we believe that, why would they not take him seriously? Well, you know, they joke about him. They misuse his name as a figure of speech. And for the most desperate ones, they reserve him for situations that parallel fire alarms. In case of emergency, break glass. Or said another way, and I'm sure you've heard this, I've heard this many, many times, God becomes a get-out-of-jail-free card when you're so desperate you don't want to take the punishment that's waiting for you. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's one of my favorite verses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now that fear is the fear of reverence and respect, not fear of rejection or fear of being abandoned. See, it's with this biblical teaching that for the believer, God is Abba, which means Father, of course. In Psalm 147:5, it says, "Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." And that term, has no limit, it's a good definition of what we mean by infinite. He has limit. There is no limits to the mighty power God has for us. You see, that the human mind, it cannot really conceive of this infinite. We can think of a long time or a great amount of time or a massive knowledge, but nothing we deal with in a daily life is limitless. Now, we can believe God is limitless, but we have such a hard time. It's hard to grasp all that entails. The infinity and limitless of God is beyond our ability to picture in our own minds, yet we can embrace these truths of scriptures with our limited understanding. And then we can worship God all the more zealously as we become overwhelmed with who he is when we finally receive it. Although the attribute of God can be extended outward to an infinite degree, God's infinity can be better understood by looking at it from a couple of different angles. Let me share. Psalm 36, 5 and 6, it reads, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain, and your justice just like the deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast." And Psalm 139, 4, 5, and 6 says, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." And then one more, Isaiah 40, 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Do you feel overwhelmed here? Did you hear those scriptures? I have to say, reading through this, I'm overwhelmed with what God can give us in his infinite powers. But when we come to know Christ, we are indwelt by all three persons of the Trinity in a way we were not indwelt before we were saved. You understand that part? Did you know that God is infinite and God is eternal? Now for me, these really kind of go hand in hand. They work together, you know, because God is eternal. He is also infinite. I'll take a moment here and try to explain what that means and why it's so important to us. The word eternal simply means, guess what? Lasting forever. Okay, that's an obvious one. Have no beginning and no end. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, it tells us about God's eternal nature. "Before the mountains were brought forth, you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God." And here's another scripture all the way back in the last book, Revelation 1:8. Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and was and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." But in the last chapter of Revelation, he also adds, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning in the end." Revelation 22:13. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Now those scriptures we've talked about here all lead us to the same meaning about God. He has no beginning and he has no end. And sometimes that is just too difficult for us to grasp. How can you not have a beginning? In our little peanut brain, everything begins with something. How can you not have that? Now, we can accept that there's no ending part. We just don't know when things are going to end sometimes. But it's so hard to say. There never was a beginning. How do you grasp that? God has always been here, and he always will be. And that's what I love about what Jesus says there in Revelation 1:8, saying, "I am the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." That's just a great reminder. God always was, always will be, and always will be in the future. Now, we typically measure everything according to time. Always looking at our watch. Time. Oh, I got to go. I'm late for this appointment. Oh, it's dinner time. Everything's about time. But God's nature has no time constraints at all. Time doesn't matter to God, but it certainly does to us, right? Anyone struggling with patience? My hand is up. I know you can't see me, but yeah, I have a hard time with patience. I have for as long as I can remember, unfortunately. But the Bible doesn't try to prove God's existence or his eternity. It simply begins with the statement, "In the beginning, God." Genesis 1:1, we talked about that. It shows right there from that start, it shows that God was already in existence from the beginning. God was and he is forever. And when God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, Moses asked God what his name was. God said, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. That's in Exodus 3:14. Now we may struggle with what that name means. It really is a description of who God is. He's limitless. God is describing who he is. Not only I am what I am today, but I am what I have been, and I am what I shall be, and I shall be what I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. The good news comes when we consider the end times, even the hope we have in death. One day, God will create a new heaven and a new earth, and they, like him, will continue in eternity. He who belongs to Christ through faith will continue through eternity with him as well. And Romans 6:23, it comforts us in knowing that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. And because God is infinite, he is far above creation. He is both greater than creation, and he's independent of creation. And it means God is so infinitely above and beyond us in our ability to fully comprehend him. So our words seem to fall short. But we do our best to proclaim who God is. That is why faith is so important to us. If we didn't believe, oh, how difficult would it be to embrace Jesus if we didn't believe it? Because it all seems unbelievable, you have to believe by faith. Yet we have this God who is eternal and infinite. Well, that's great news. Our God is above all that is going on in the world. He is perfect. He is without sin. Now, in closing, I want to look here at Hebrews 12:2. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that is great news for us, my friend. You see, we look at our country, and many of us believe this is ridiculous. It's stupid actions of destruction what we're going through. But you can't always fix people. But the news, good news comes when we understand that while God is eternal and infinite, thank goodness our government is not. And that's so important to know, because presidents will change. Their minds will change. Their nature will change. Their interests will change. Our laws and moral laws have changed. They not only change, but they are limited. Yes, they are finite. There is a beginning, and there is an end to all these things. But this is so huge for us. Listen up now. We're about done. We trust in God's promises, in his power, in his love, his grace, mercy, compassion, presence, and more. Why? Because in God's limitless nature, we are reminded that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hebrews 13:8. Excuse me here. Can we hold on to that great news? He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Can we hold on to that? Can you do that with me? Can we celebrate Jesus no matter who the president is? Well, yeah, of course we can. Because Jesus is our Lord. He is our King. He is eternal and he is infinite. And nobody else is. And we praise God for that. Jesus and God with our infinite power our fingertips. All we have to do is believe and in faith in who he is. May you bless now as you receive this message today, as you digest it. Go to the scriptures and look at what they say. Dwell on them, focus on them, absorb them. And just know the infinite power of God is with you every day through every circumstance. Amen.